Oh, praise God. Would you turn your grab hold of your Bibles tonight? The Word of God that won't return void, that brings revelation by His Spirit, that is true. And turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Now I want you to understand something, because this is vital. And in this, what the Lord was saying, listen, I've already showed you what to do that's acceptable. I've told you, I've showed you. Now you have the choice to obey or disobey. So what happened was, because the Lord showed Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve fell, and before he removed them from the garden, because Adam and Eve put their own fig leaves on to try to cover themselves. And the Lord said they ain't going to work. So here's what I'm going to show you what to do. And the Lord killed an animal. And he took the skin of the animal and put it around Adam and Eve. Why? Because it was now his covering. He was showing them what he accepted. So this offering, this sacrificial offering, was there was an offering that was accepted, and there was an offering that is not. So everybody got this? So in this, we know that Abel, even though he was the keeper of the sheep, he took the offering, sacrificed it for the Lord. The Lord accepted it. Now, that's all Cain needed to do, was go to his brother Abel, because he knew exactly where to get the correct offering, and do the same thing, and the Lord would have accepted it. But Cain chose to do it his way. And what happened is the Lord didn't accept the offering. He did not reject Cain. He just did not accept the offering. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be what? Accepted. If you do not do well, what happens? Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now, what he was saying here is, listen, there's two presences. There's the presence of God, and there's the presence of evil. And you cannot overcome the presence of evil without the presence of God. So if you're going to attempt to do it your way, what you're actually doing is you're exchanging the presence of God for the presence of evil. Because he said sin lies at the door, and sin is the presence of evil. Think about how many times when we've disobeyed God, and it's gotten us in trouble. Why? Because what we actually did is we exchanged the presence of God for the presence of evil, and the end result is always trouble. It's always trouble. Even though it may feel good, even though it may seem to be good, even though it may taste good, people exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil by their obedience or their disobedience. Is everybody okay? I'll go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. In verse 12. Let's read this together. How you are fallen from where? Heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And here's the response of the Lord. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The road of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they what? Rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. In other words, this is powerful. He's talking about Lucifer. Lucifer was an archangel. He was known as the son of the morning. He had fallen from heaven to earth. But the Lord said, I'm going to bring you to hell. I'm going to bring you to hell. See, hell was prepared by God, not by Lucifer. And then he says, I'm going to not only bring you to hell, but eventually I'm going to bring you to the lowest pit in the earth. Now, we want to talk tonight about Satan's dwelling places. And it is important that we understand that Satan's dwelling places is the presence of evil. Wherever Satan dwells is the presence of evil. And the presence of evil is called sin. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But in this, we saw that Lucifer, who was an archangel of Satan, had been removed from God's presence because he established something. He promoted himself. He promoted himself. The five I's. I will, I will, I will, I will. Where there's a lot of I's, you know that the presence of evil is infiltrating, manipulating, or encouraging. The presence of evil will always promote self, just like what Cain and Abel. Didn't the Lord tell him, look at, the presence of evil is right there. It's called sin. If you do what's correct, my presence will be with you to overcome the presence of evil. If you don't do what's correct, my presence will not be with you, and the presence of evil will control you. So we got to understand that there's a fight for the presence of God, and there's a fight to remove the presence of evil. And it is not a one-time event. It is a lifetime event. And every one of your decisions and everything that you do in everyday life, you wake up in the presence of evil. You live in the presence of evil. So it's our responsibility to continue to expose and remove and push back the presence of evil and bring forth the presence of God. Is everybody with me? Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. So on this, when the Lord removed Satan from heaven, where did he send him? To the earth. So does Satan dwell in the earth? Amen. In fact, he said, I'm going to put you in the lowest parts. So we know that hell is where Satan dwells. In Ezekiel 28, in verse 12, if you'll read this with me, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, so you know he's not talking about a man. Because no man was perfect, was he? Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, there ain't no man on this earth. You were in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. So we know that because Satan was at one time the praise and worship leader of the universe on the mountain of God, that Lucifer was there when God created the earth. So the Lord gave Lucifer all the precious stones and dressed him. He dressed him with all of the things that he created the earth with, the precious stones of the earth. It says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So Lucifer was created to bring the presence of God. He was created to bring the presence of God. He was God's right-hand man. He was created with timbrels and pipes. God, the breath of God, breathed to Lucifer, and the presence of God went through the universe. The mountain of God was known as the earth. So on the earth, the angels used to come and inhabit, and the praise and worship team used to sing forth through. See, it was different than it is now. We see everything as different. The earth was not like it is now. It was made perfect. There wasn't a flaw in the earth when Lucifer was on the earth. It was perfect. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In verse 14, it says, you were the what? Anointed cherub who covers. In other words, he carried the presence of God. He was anointed. His anointing covered. What did he cover? He covered the universe with praise and worship. Now understand, here is Lucifer who carried the presence of God. But he exchanged the presence of God for the presence of himself. And the presence of himself became evil. It became sin. Because the presence of evil is sin. Self was expressed. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God, which was the earth. And that's because that's where Lucifer said, I will exalt myself. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will. Why? Because he was on the earth, so it means he wanted to go above. There was no clouds in the spirit realm of heaven, was there? No. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, Lucifer was there when God created the earth. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Until iniquity was found in you. So the anointing of God was replaced with the presence of evil by choice. And he said, this iniquity that was found in you is called pride. Pride. Pride, the promotion of self. The promotion of self is called pride. We call pride personal reverence into a deadly end. So we see here very powerful in the area of why Lucifer was removed from his position. Because he made the exchange for the presence of God for the presence of himself. And it promoted evil, promoted pride. In Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1. Satan's dwelling places. In verse 1. Let's read this. In the beginning, God created the what? Heavens and the earth. So what's the first thing he created? Time. It says, in the what? Beginning. So where there's a beginning, there's a end. So the first thing God created was time. He took a chunk out of eternity and he established a beginning and the end. Then he began to create the universe. And he began to create the heavenlies. He created the angels to maintain the universe. And it says here in verse 2, the earth was with what? Out form. Now, wait a minute. Does God create anything imperfect? No. So there's a span of time between verse 1 and 2. Because he said he created the heavens, the spiritual realm, and then the earth, the natural, the matter. So something happened because there's no way that the earth could be created without form. The earth was without form and void. And what? Darkness. Well, wait a minute. There wasn't any darkness then, was there? So darkness is a representation of evil presence. Has everybody got it? Darkness was where? On the face of the deep. Now he's going to tell you what he means by the deep. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the what? Water. So we know that Lucifer's Satan, who became Satan, his presence now was on the face of the deep, knowing the deep waters. So we know that his throne was also above the oceans. It was above the ocean floor. In fact, there are many places where Satan's dwellings are, and there are many ports where he comes out of, where his kingdom comes out of globally. In fact, the Bermuda Triangle is one of them. If you've ever noticed that there's many disappearances and people can't explain the things that happen over the Bermuda Triangle, that's one of his ports where they come in and out of. In fact, years ago, I don't know if you ever heard of Jacques Cousteau. He was a well-known, famous man that did underwater explorations all the time. And one day they were diving very deep, and he kept hearing screams, and he thought it was his imagination, and he found that there was like bars on the ocean floor in this one location. And as he began to get close to it, he heard such screams that it terrified him that he was going to quit scuba diving because he ran into one of the ports and he heard the screams of humans, the screams of people. So darkness was on the face of the deep. In other words, another place of Satan's dwellings is under water. There are, again, thrones, and there are ports of his dwelling places. And we have much more deep teachings on these, but I'm not going to go into all of this now. But we do have some in our library. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, I want you to grab hold of this because the serpent was a representation of Lucifer, known as Satan. And in the witchcraft, and if you've ever spoken to anyone or anybody that's been involved, and we have spoken with individuals and know that people have been involved in ministries, especially in Africa and a lot in Haiti and so forth, where there's a lot of witchcraft. And there are families that are totally sold out to Satan's kingdom, and they are high priests of Satan, and things are handed down from one generation to another. In fact, there is a what we call a witch doctor who the Lord had rescued, and this individual used to speak about how he used to be able to walk to the end of the ocean and walk down and go into Satan's kingdom. And he would be able to change himself into five different types of reptiles. And he would go into places and he would change himself into an alligator or whatever. And he'd spew on a child and grab the child, drown him, and then offer him up to Satan. This is a powerful, true story, and I know the missionary that knows these people. And it's called A Doctor and a Witch Man. Anyways, that's a book that is out about that. But anyways, in this, so In this it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. This word beast here is multiple meaning. One of the meanings of the word beast here means kingdom. Kingdom. So he's talking about the serpent's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is the most cunning. Are you listening? Not just in the area of beast, of animal, in other words, but you've got to look in this in three-dimensional, what the Spirit is revealing, because he's talking about Satan's kingdom. So Satan's kingdom is the most cunning. Do you understand this? And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, was the serpent in the garden? Yes, he was. And he was actually under lock and key. Adam had the keys to the serpent. He had dominion. Remember, God created Adam in his image and likeness, so was the presence of God on Adam? Yes. Eve was created in the image of Adam. Was the presence of God on Eve? Yes. Okay. Yes. But the thing was, as he said to them, do not associate with the presence of evil, but associate with the presence of God. So he told them where to eat, where to fellowship, what to do. Now, it was never intended for God to reveal to Adam and Eve what good and evil was yet. In other words, eventually he would explain to them and teach them, but he never wanted them to become good and evil. So eventually he would have shown them and taught them about good and evil, but he never intended them to become good and evil. Because he knew that what would happen is they would exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil, and they would not be able to overcome. Is everybody all right? Okay, let's go a little further. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So he called God a liar, didn't he? But understand, the woman was where, in what presence now? She was in the presence of evil, wasn't she? Just by a voice. That voice brought her into what? Presence of evil. That's all it takes. Now she's trying to convince the presence of evil, when you're not going to convince the presence of evil anything. Don't convince the presence of evil. It doesn't work. Evil is evil. It cannot be convinced. The only thing we can try to do is get the person out of the presence of evil. So, the serpent calls God a liar in verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And God, does God know good and evil? Yes, but who's God? I mean, he is eternal presence, isn't he? He's the creator. So did he created good and evil. Do you understand that? He knows what it is, but he has dominion over it because he created it. But Adam and Eve didn't have dominion over it. So God didn't want them to become good and evil. He eventually wanted to show them what good and evil was, but never become it. Okay, and the serpent says, well, look at, God doesn't want you to know this because then you're going to know good and evil and be like God. Well, he didn't lie in that. Because they would be like God, knowing good and evil, but they couldn't be like God because they would lose the presence of God. So he lied in that, didn't he? And also, he said that then your eyes will be open. No, they would be shut to him from that day on. Adam and Eve would never see the serpent again, nor they would be able to see God again the moment they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the presence of evil brings blindness. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband. Then the eyes of both of them were opened to the natural realm, but they were shut to the spirit realm. They no longer saw the serpent nor God. And they knew that they were naked. Because the only thing that was promoted was self. The same character, the nature of the serpent, who was the nature of Lucifer, who fell, was now the promoter of self. I. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves and made for themselves coverings, so they tried to cover their own self up, trying to cover up their mistake. Can't cover up your mistake. God sees it, knows it, and exposes it. Now they heard the sound of the Lord because they no longer saw him. They could only hear him. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord because they now exchanged the presence of God for the presence of evil, and now they ran from the presence of God instead of running to the presence of God. Does everybody see this? And they ran from him. They hid themselves. And the Lord God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you at, Adam?" Like he didn't know where he's at. And Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, but I couldn't see you. I only could hear you. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. One of the things he always manipulates people with fear is what they might lose. What they might lose. What they might lose or what they might not have. And he said, "Who told you that? You are naked." And that's what we have to ask ourselves all the time. Who told me that? Who told me that? Who told me to disobey God? Who told me to break the rule? Who told me to promote myself? Who told me? See, when that comes, it's because the presence of evil is there. Is everybody okay? Again, the beast is associated with the kingdom. The Bible even says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, doesn't he? So Adam and Eve actually exchanged the presence of God for the presence of evil, and they became blind. They became blind. And that's what happens with individuals. They become blind. The fear of God no longer is there, but only the fear of loss, the fear of not having. It's all associated with self now. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job 1 and verse 6. Is everybody there? "Now there was a day when the sons of God," these are known as angels, "came to present themselves before the Lord." In other words, they came to heaven, to the throne room of God. "And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro,'" in other words, going on and off on the earth, "and from walking back and forth." So another place of Satan's dwellings is in the atmosphere. "And he said, the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" Now, I want you to understand something. The Lord just slaps Satan in the face. Wham! Ooh, Satan didn't like this. Now, I want to step back a little bit, because remember, Satan came into the presence of God, didn't he? It's amazing how many times that people say, well, evil can't dwell in God's presence. And well, let me tell you, we live and have our being in God, and Satan's kingdom's in God, isn't it? So the Lord allowed Satan to come into his presence. And he says to Satan, I have an upright man who fears me and shuns evil. In other words, he takes my presence more important than yours. And Lucifer didn't like that. See, God was going to use Job to slap around Lucifer, because he was an upright man, blameless, and shunned evil. So the Lord says to him, he will not, he loves my presence more than yours. Let's go a little further. And verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Can you imagine somebody saying that to God? But the Lord allowed it because he knows Lucifer, because Lucifer is all about himself. See, he wants his presence everywhere. But the Lord already slapped Lucifer, and he said, listen, Job loves my presence more than yours. Hallelujah. And verse 11, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that is he has in your is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went from where? The presence of the Lord. Has everybody got it? See, Satan can't live in that kind of presence because there's a multiple arena of God's presence. There's a Shekinah glory. There's a presence of God that maintains life on earth and holds things together. But there's a different presence of God. When healings and signs and wonders come, it's because there's a stronger presence. When we praise and worship, what are we doing? We're inviting his presence, aren't we? But we're pushing back the powers of darkness, and we're inviting the presence of God. So there's going to be a different level of his presence, isn't there? I know when the presence of God came on me, it was the glory of God. I shook and shook and shook and quaked and shaked till every demon from hell left me. There was a different presence. So we see again here that Satan dwells in the atmosphere of the earth also. He went into the presence of God, but again, the Lord humiliated him. When he says, Job shuns your presence, but he loves mine. Why? Because, the presence of evil again is called sin. Satan exchanged the presence of God for his own sin. I want to tell you what sin is. Self-imposed nature. S-I-N. Self-imposed nature. And it's protected by pride. Sin is a self-imposed nature. It's evil presence. It's protected by pride. And again, pride is a personal reverence into a deadly end. Self-imposed nature. This is where we have our own self-imposed belief systems, which is called religion. Satan's greatest accomplishment was to impose religion in mankind. The word religion means bondage. We are not religious. We are free. We belong to an eternal kingdom, not a religious organization. Amen. So sin is associated with the presence of evil. It is the presence of evil. And it is a self-imposed nature. And that nature is the same nature the same character nature of Satan, which promotes self. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. Sin, self-imposed nature, protected by pride. Self-imposed belief system called religion. In verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Sins means associations with the presence of evil. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the what? Prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that God's presence? Yes. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The prince of power of air. Without air, we die. Without oxygen, right? But yet the air is promoting death. Because it is the prince of power of air. Does everybody get this? You and I cannot live without oxygen. But the air we're breathing is promoting death because it's the prince of power of air. It was never intended for us to live eternally in this realm. Because we're not from this realm. Because this realm is associated with the presence of evil. So if we're living in the presence of evil, we're breathing in the prince of power of air that's actually promoting death because we're going to age out. But it's sustaining us while we're here in the presence of evil. Oh, hallelujah. The prince of power of air, without air we die, yet the air is producing death. It is promoting and associates with the carnal nature or the human nature, which is rebellion. Sin, self-imposed nature. It is a rebellious nature. It's rebellious to the presence of God, but yet yields to the presence of evil. Dwelling in the human nature also. So when we look at, when we talk about Satan's dwellings places, people have a tendency to look at one person as Satan. When Satan is associated with kingdom, it is a kingdom of multiple powers of darkness, prince of powers of air, all of these antichrist spirits, principalities, territorial spirits, demons, seducing, seductive spirits. Has everybody got this? This is Satan's kingdom. And now he dwells, he's got access to me and you in our nature, because you and I were born in the image and likeness of the devil, not God. We are born again. We bring in the character of Christ when we are born again in the spirit. But in the natural state of the human nature, you and I are offsprings of darkness. So our nature, our old nature, the human nature, carnal nature, loves the presence of evil. It's comfortable in the presence of evil. It wants to run in the presence of evil. It wants to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It wants to do everything to promote self. Me, 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 and me. Because it's called human nature. Oh, he's only human. You know, when you think about it, right, because he carries the presence of evil. You might as well just say, he's only sin. Self-imposed nature, sin. So Satan's place, we're talking about Satan's dwelling places. Well, he dwells in our human nature then, doesn't he? That's what we call members. And we have members. And in our members is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Members, associated lovers of the world, under the wrath of God, living, breathing, prince of power of air, sustains life in his realm, beyond is killing us, promoting aging. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Romans 8. So God has given us his Spirit, which is the presence of God, so that we can overcome the presence of evil, which is sin, called self-imposed nature. And in verse 12, in Romans 8, 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, which is the carnal nature, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? You will die. He's talking about eternally. He's not talking about here. He's talking about eternally. Death is eternal separation from God. So if you live according to the flesh in this realm, you're going to be separated from God eternally. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're going to crucify the flesh. In other words, you're going to allow the presence of God to have dominion over the presence of evil, which is called sin. Self-imposed nature, which is the character of Satan. Me, 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 me. I. Go to Hosea chapter 5. Is everybody getting this? Hosea chapter 5. Welcome to the earth. The presence of evil. It wasn't always like this. So Satan blew it. And then Eve blew it. And Adam followed along. And things changed. Hosea chapter 5. Is everybody there? Verse 5. I guess we'll start at 4. It says what? They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst. They do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. So he talks about pride. He talks about harlotry. Why? Because harlotry is a fruit of the presence of evil. Pride is the protector of the presence of evil. It promotes self, doesn't it? Amen? And he says, look at what's happening. They're coming against me, my presence. Verse 6, with their flocks and their herbs, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord. I'm telling you, people do some stupid stuff because they lose the fear of God. They exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil, and it promotes me. You know, the Bible tells us that the heart of an individual is the most devious and deceitful. Where is the fear of the Lord? The Bible says, depart from evil. In other words, you're your worst enemy. I can't trust myself. The only one I can trust is Him. So when self starts to get promoted and things get starting turning on me, we've got to stop and say, wait a minute, who told me that? The presence of evil is trying to overcome the presence of God. And it's my choice. I can either exchange it. Hello? I can exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil. Just like Cain had the choice. And because he did not make the right choice, he killed his brother. And murder and blood was now on his hands. And he became a vagabond. Always running from the presence of God because it feared the presence of God and carried the presence of evil. It says, verse 7, they dwell treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Now how can a new moon devour them? He's talking here about those who worship the moon god will devour them. Because every time Israel got into trouble, what did the Lord do? He allowed the hedge of protection to drop, and the worshipers of the moon god would come and devour them. And then he'd go and rescue them again. He'd be like, have you had enough yet? Are you tired of living with sin? Are you tired of serving the presence of evil? How many times do you want to go around the mountain? Do you need to eat more dirt? How many times have you been warned? God just doesn't do something one time. He warns, 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 and warns. Then, bam, he steps back and he says, go for it. When you really want to humble yourself and call on me, did you ever notice that he delays his answers? Especially when we're in sin. When we were walking with him, and then when we choose to rebel against his presence, we exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil, and we go play with the presence of evil, and we go, oh God, what do I do now? Oh, show me what to do. His answers are always delayed because he says, you know what to do. You know what to do. Now show me. Now show me. Hello. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Ouch. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. I'll make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove the landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept, which is sin. Self-imposed nature, the presence of evil. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. Ouch. Hello? The worshippers of the moon will overtake you. Well, who are the worshippers of the moon? Satan's kingdom are worshippers of the moon, aren't they? And there are people that worship Satan's kingdom. There's religions that worship the crescent moon. Isaiah 59. Now, let's go to Genesis 11 first. Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Satan's dwelling places. Verse 1, Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, which is actually Iraq, and they dwelt there, and they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us what? Make a name for who? Ourselves." Well, you know that wasn't the presence of God. That was the presence of evil. "Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." And the reason why they said scattered abroad is because they wanted something to escape the last flood that God destroyed everyone. So they thought if they could make a high enough tower when they were making a name for themselves, that they could escape the flood again if they got high enough. Dumb. I mean, you know, dumb. Because the presence of evil brings blindness. It also brings stupidity. Some of the smartest people I know are stupid. They're so smart, they're stupid. They got all these degrees and they still can't figure out nor the difference between the presence of God and the presence of evil. They can't understand the sinful nature and the divine nature. They can't see what's going on because they're blinded because of the presence of evil that's running their life. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they shall have one language. And this is what they have begun to do. Now nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. And they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name of the city is Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. I want you to understand something. This is where culture was established. So Satan dwells in culture. He not only dwells on the earth, the atmosphere, under the waters, in our members, human nature, but he dwells in cultures that are handed down in traditions of men. Cultures, traditions of men. That's where he dwells. So many people are pride of their culture. I'm proud on such and such. I'm very prideful of my culture. Well, your culture is demonic. And it came from the Tower of Babel. Whether you're Italian, Irish, German, wherever, it don't matter. That culture started from the Tower of Babel. And Satan dwells in cultures. Didn't he rebuke the Pharisees that said, "Your traditions of men have made no effect"? In other words, they had no effect. In fact, their traditions interfered with what God was trying to do. They thought their traditions were keeping God's presence, but their traditions were actually keeping the presence of evil. And they became religious because it promotes a self-imposed belief system. I forgot where I was at. I was somewhere and somebody was saying, "Oh, you're Kumba, Italian." I said, "No, I'm Christ. I'm Christ." But of course, I use my cultural, national tradition to infiltrate the world system. Then I zip it off and poof. I don't have to run into any telephone booths or anything. I just, right there. Praise God. And Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Satan's dwelling places. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue have muttered perversity. For no one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Ouch. Who told you that? Separates us from the presence of God because we're exchanging the presence of evil for the presence of God. And he says, your sins, self-imposed nature, which is the offspring of darkness, because you're allowing that nature to rule your life, it separates you from me. So the presence of evil will also always separate you from the presence of God. John 3. John chapter 3. Satan's dwelling places. Again, Satan is not just one person. It's associated with his kingdom. John chapter 3. Is everybody there? Not that there won't be a Satan that will come forth. In verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved." Why? Because the world is associated with the presence of evil. So the presence of God came into the world so that we could now fellowship and associate with the presence of God instead of the presence of evil. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe condemns himself already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. So the presence of evil promotes evil deeds, doesn't it? That's why many people run from the presence of God. They have a form of godliness. They can do all kinds of things, but their deeds are evil, being disobedient to the things of God. And when they're being disobedient to the things of God, they're exchanging the presence of God for the presence of evil. Now they're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and they are dying. If they died in that condition, they would go to hell. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the truth, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In John 10. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." The sheep did not what? Hear them, because they could no longer see them, so they have to discern by what they hear. This is where you must ask yourself, who's telling you this? Yeah, well, I just want to get on with my life. Bummer, I want to lose mine. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I didn't say find pastor. I said find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life more what? Abundantly, because it's eternal life. So the presence of evil always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Puts people in cycles, puts limitations on them. Sin. Sin. Self-imposed nature. It's the nature of Satan. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Satan's dwelling places. Revelation 2. Verse 8, and to the angel of the church in Samaria write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are a synagogue of what? Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be what? Tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So Satan has a synagogue, doesn't he? He has synagogues all over the place. And in these synagogues, they worship. In verse 11, it says, he is an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And the angel of the church in Pergamos, right, these things says, he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Satan's what? Throne. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have, there are those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I'll come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna to eat, which is revelation. And I'll give him white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Again, the synagogue of Satan is a place where his altar of worship is. In the synagogue, there's Satan's throne. And there's something I want to share with you, because there's this place, what we call, he said, to the church of Pergamos, which is actually Pergamon. And this place is, it is a place in Turkey. It was a Greek city in modern-day Turkey. And I want you to grab hold of something, because Satan's throne was there. His altar was there. Coming out of Turkey. And you're going to find that a lot of things are going to be utilized where the Antichrist and so forth will most likely come out of Turkey. But I'm not going to get into all that now. So Satan's throne was actually in the modern-day Turkey. And the reason why it's also associated with a throne is because it's a seat of persecution. It's a seat of persecution. In this place, Christians, during that period of time, it was the most violent place in murders against Christians in the world. It was called Satan's throne. And in that they worshipped in Satan's throne. In fact, Antipas was sentenced to death there. That's why the Lord called him his martyr. And they sacrificed him on the altar of Zeus. It was called, was actually Satan's throne, but they called it the altar of Zeus. And the pagan priests there complained to the Roman governors about Antipas because his prayers were removing or driving out evil spirits. So they went and complained, and what they did is they took him and sentenced him to death at the altar of Zeus. Now, in the 19th century, German engineers dismantled this altar and took it to Berlin, just in time for the most brutal dictators of the world had ever seen, Hitler. Hitler. See, people don't realize what's really happening and what's going on. And there is a museum in Berlin called the Pergamon Museum. And it has the altar of Zeus, which was associated with Satan's throne, because it is a seat of persecution. And it was the most persecuted, violent murders and killings that ever happened to Christians. They had a bull, because they used to worship the bull. And what they did is they put somebody in there, and this is what they did to Antipas. They locked him in where his head was in the bull's mouth. And they would put fire, because it was a bronze bull, they would light up and heat the bull to where his head would actually melt. And it was so painful that the screams would go through the bull and people would hear it all over. And it was its worship, the sacrifice to Satan on the altar of what they called Zeus. But it was actually Satan's altar. It was associated with Satan's dwelling place, his throne, because of the persecution, the seat of persecution, the most in the world. Is everybody okay? Satan's dwelling place. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9 it says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Amen? In chapter 20, we know the end result. Chapter 20 and verse 1 and 2. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after that, these must be released for a little while." Acts chapter 3. I want 2 verses left. Acts chapter 3. So we see here that the Lord will fulfill what he spoke of Lucifer, who will be bound in the lowest pit. In Acts chapter 3. So please understand that there is so much, again, influence and promotion of self. If you've really given your life to Christ Jesus, then you don't have a life. You live the life that he has given you in obedience and submission so that you may resist the devil. So that you don't exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil. In verse 19 in Acts chapter 3 it says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins, the presence of evil, may be removed from you, your sins be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, so that the presence of God can bring refreshing." In Romans 16, and we'll close here. Romans 16. Is everybody okay? Satan's dwelling places. Remember, sin is self-imposed nature. It's protected by pride, which is personal reverence unto a deadly end. Self-imposed nature. It's called the carnal nature. It's not the divine nature. It has a self-imposed belief system called religion. In Romans 16 and verse 19, it says what? For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And everybody said, amen. Get it and learn. And depart from evil. Praise God.